Talking Rats Alley.
But tonight we've got Peter.
We've got Peter. Oh, look at that. Look at that. We got Peter, yeah. Chris. Wow. Welcome, Peter, Chris, to Rats Alley Review. How's everybody doing?
Thanks, guys. It's an honor.
What are we doing tonight, Greg?
Numbers 11 through 9. Dynasty at number 11. Love Gun at number 10. And Revenge at number 9.
Dynasty number 11. Wow. Surprised it's so low. It seems very low to me still, you know?
Well, I was going to mention this too, you know, when we get to 11, really every album from here on is great. And
yeah,
some are just a little better than others. And yeah, there's stupid little shit that hurts Dynasty, but it's still a good album. It's the last classic Kiss one.
Really?
Well, yeah, Peter doesn't play at all on Unmasked.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You look like you were disagreeing with that, Lou, the way you looked up in shock.
I forgot that he was going to mention that Peter did not play Unmasked. Yeah, Peter only played on Dirty Living on this one.
Yep.
Which is your favorite song on the album, right, Wayne?
Oh, yeah.
It's, like that track? Oh, okay.
Great song.
Actually, I was listening to this today and while I was cooking, and I was like, this song ain't that bad as I remember it. It's okay. I'm still not going to put it on my favorite list on this album, though.
It's a grower. It's definitely a grower.
Yeah. I think it's one of the best songs on it.
Oh, well, you're just insane.
Yeah, it's got that real good funky vibe, man.
It's probably, besides Beth, maybe the only other song of Peter Criss's I like.
You don't like Mainline? Asshole.
It's okay.
Isn't that another Stanley song? Isn't that another Paul Stanley
song?
Oh,
you're talking about writing, not just singing. Okay,
right.
Yeah. Mainline, I believe, is written by Paul, which I'll consult.
All right, let's go. Dynasty. Go ahead, Greg.
A good album. A very different one. I really don't think the little bits of disco added in really hurt it all that bad. I mean, definitely more commercial in approach, you know, than anything that had come before it. But I think the album still has that edge to it a little bit, still a little murky in the production. It could have been more powerful, though. That's my biggest problem with Vinnie Poncia. Most of what he does, at least with Kiss, seems to come off really fucking flat. It always kind of... I mean, okay, Peter did an R&B album, but he didn't even really do that good of a job on that, which... I get the direction they were going, but I feel like they could have found somebody better.
And he didn't even drum on his solo album, right? He only sang on it.
No, he plays drum, not all the tracks.
Oh. Well, okay, never mind then.
I think the only one who doesn't really play their own instrument on the solo albums is Gene. Yeah, I forget the name of the studio bassist he had, but he only sings on his.
It was John Bouvier. No, it wasn't.
No. Wouldn't surprise me, but nah, he'd have been a little young, I think, in 78.
Possibly.
And yes, Mainline was written by Paul Stanley. Sorry, that was bothering me. I had to find that out before I came back to this, but you know, it was their first new album in a while. The solo albums had come before this. They became the biggest band in the world. Their audience was expanding. So this was a little bit lighter, I guess, to appeal to more kids and things like that. Obviously, the merchandise was in top form. We had comic books. We had Migo Dolls. How's it going, guys?
I wish
Peter wasn't sidelined by an accident and actually played on this besides Dirty Living, though. think his style would have fit so much better. Although, much like they did with Bob Kulick on the studio tracks on Alive 2, it's pretty clear they told Vinny here, or not Vinny, Anton Figg, try to sound like Peter. Because some of it sounds very stiff, but Ace really kicks out some really strong songs here, and so does Paul. Like, a lot of people shit on Sure Know Something because it's meant to be this big pop ballad, which it is, but it's a great tune, you know?
I've never heard anybody shit on that song, so I'm surprised anybody would shit on that song. It's so good.
Dude, there are some people where their original lineup only, and they're only about the rock songs.
Wow. That's crazy because this album's like really, really good. I mean, I don't like every single song on here, and like we mentioned before, I do like the Peter Criss song, but I Was Made for Loving You. I heard there's so many people that hate that song. I don't know why. I guess it's too disco for them, but
You know, the funny thing is, it's not even their most disco song. And I
it's
mean, don't
not.
get me wrong, I love Unmasked and the song I'm about to talk about, but Easy As It Seems is pretty much a
Right.
straight disco song. It sounds like Paul ripped it right off a Donna Summer record. You
Yeah.
know? I Was Made for Loving You is pretty much still based in rock.
Yeah, definitely. And people say like this album's more disco, you know, like the I guess it's the first disco sounding album, but if anything's disco, it's that song. I Was Made for Loving You, but it doesn't really sound that much disco. When you go to Unmask, yeah, there's a lot of songs on there that sound more disco than anything on this album, I think anyway.
If I may interject.
No, you don't.
Okay, thank you. So remember when I told you last week that my brother Tony was the one that convinced me to purchase Destroyer?
Yeah.
Well, he also told me that the next Kiss album that he bought after that was Dynasty because he was excited that there was a new Kiss album. And the moment he put the song on, the moment he put the cassette on, I Was Made for Loving You came on. And he was so disgusted by it
Really?
because he thought Kiss sold out. He thought they sold the fans out by going for the money and releasing a disco song. And apparently there were a lot of Kiss fans that felt that same way too. Now, although the album sales weren't hurting, at this point in Kiss's career, concert tickets were kind of dwindling. For example, they were supposed to have a two-night stay at Madison Square Garden. The second night didn't sell out, so they only kept it to the one. And he said that they broke his heart, and he never bought another Kiss cassette after that ever again. And he
Wow.
says everything, excluding Destroyer, is not worth owning. So yeah, no, there were a lot of Kiss fans at the time. Remember, timeline is everything, that hated it because of what it symbolized.
Well, and especially talking about the timeline too, I mean, they hit such a point of oversaturation by 1979. I mean, you had the Marvel comic, you had Meets Phantom of the Park, you had the solo albums,
Double platinum.
double platinum, Alive 2.
Two albums a year. So.
It was just, I think it was too much, and a lot of it was so varied, there was no way they were going to be able to gain new fans without alienating some. But the main reason this is so low as compared to some of the others is some of the songwriting is a little clunky because you could tell there was a lot of band disharmony at the time. I know I've read Gene wasn't particularly pleased that Paul was basically like, "Hey, Ace, what you wrote for this album is way better than what Gene's crapping out, so you get three songs on this one." By the way, he was right, and charisma proves my point. Which, in spite of what people think or say about I Was Made for Loving You and Sure Know Something, which granted were the singles and probably people's feet first exposure to this, like Lou's brother, charisma is the closest thing to a Studio 54 dance floor piece of crap on this record.
I also don't know which song I like least, that or X-ray Eyes, but I'll get to that when I discuss my opinion on the album.
I actually like X-ray Eyes. It's not a very interesting song,
I like
but
the pew, pew, pew in the third chorus. That's pretty funny.
the melody line to it, and even with the X-ray Eyes, you know, with that Blue Oyster Cult does that a lot, and I love it, and it really works for this song. It's entrancing. Is it super creative? No.
All right, I like X-Ray Eyes more than Charisma. There, Charisma is the worst song on the album. I'm glad we agree.
Yeah, Charisma's god awful. Honestly, knowing some of the songs that were rejected and popped up later, I'm shocked. That's the one where Paul was like, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good, Gene. Let's put it on here."
At that point, he was probably like, "Fuck it, we'll do it anyway."
But I think my first exposure to hearing I Was Made for Loving You was on Kiss Alive 3. It could have been earlier. I just really? Don't remember. But yeah, I remember, because I love that Alive 3. That was like one of my first Kiss albums. It was Revenge, I think, maybe the live album after that. And then I got into the earlier stuff later on. But I always loved that version. That's why it never really sounded disco to me, because on Alive 3, it doesn't sound disco, you know? It's pretty heavy on
honestly, a lot of what keeps this from being a pop record, despite what the older fans might have thought, is Ace's distorted guitar. I mean, Ace is still Ace, you know.
Yeah, I still hear
really grounds it in the heavy metal. Oh, all of it. Kind of out there and reaching for them. I mean, it still sounds like a Paul Stanley Kiss song to me.
Yeah,
that's actually my favorite song on the album.
I love that song. That's a great one.
What song was it that froze on me?
I actually, funny story, getting this album and hearing Ace cover 2000 Man was actually what made me go back and think, all right, maybe the Rolling Stones don't suck as bad as I thought they did, and I should listen to some more.
Apples and oranges, my friend. Apples and oranges. Kiss had the better version.
What was your favorite song,
Lou? Time.
Magic Touch.
Magic Touch.
I don't know. Every time we do this at 8 o'clock, my signal is like terrible. I don't know why. And then 2000 Man, when they did the Unplugged, that was the first time I heard that song. I'm like, that's a really cool song. Did not know it was a Rolling Stones song for a long time. Actually, until not too long ago. I hate the Rolling Stones. I would never even have known that.
I think it's amazing. All three of us don't like the Stones.
Oh, they're so bad. You know, I like a song here or there, but to listen to them,
yeah, they have a couple songs that aren't too bad, but they're definitely a singles band. I mean, I can say I do appreciate "Let It Bleed" as an album.
That's fine.
It's not something I'm going to listen to all the time, but the one I will never understand how it's so popular, and even saying, oh, it was designed to be commercial and arena and crap like that, does not mean the songs are good. Tattoo You, I think, is one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever had to sit through. And I can't believe people are nuts for that over some of their other stuff.
I don't get it either.
Don't get it. Never.
I just don't get
popularity.
Like Billy Hatchett covered a song that the Rolling Stones covered. What's it called? I used to love her, but it's all over now. That one.
Yeah.
Molly Hatchett's version rips. Mm. I love Molly Hatchett. And like the Stones, I'm just like, you know, I don't get it. I just don't. And whoever out there gets it, good for you. I don't get it.
Yeah. Hey, glad you love them. I mean, you know, I can't say too much. Mötley Hoople's one of my favorite bands ever, and Keith Richards really influenced Mick Ralph's.
Mm. You know, I mean, give me the Kinks or the Who any day over the Stones, just my opinion.
Oh yeah, totally.
I'd rather have a kidney stone than listen to the Stones. And we mentioned all
here.
We mentioned all the other songs: "Sure Know Something," "Magic Touch," and "X-Ray Eyes." I really love those songs. The thing I love the most about this album is the sound of it. It's very clean sounding. It's very you hear all the instruments very clearly, and everybody just sounds really good on here. You know, and that's my favorite part of the whole thing. It's a little dry, but it's it fits the period of time, and that's what everybody was doing at the time. So, to me, it's fine. I can deal with the dryness or whatever, but I like a lot of these songs off of this album. I think it's really good. You know, and I understand, you know, people to listen to Kiss earlier on and then finally got to this album and sounds like this, whatever. But from the point that I heard Kiss going backwards, you know, from listening to the latest albums at the time was Revenge and going backwards, it really didn't bother me. So, you know, it is what it is. What about you?
So my first exposure was, again, the Unmasked VHS concert that I got, the Sydney 1980 concert, and they did a couple of songs off of Dynasty on that concert. They did I Was Made for Loving You, obviously, and they did 2000 Man. So when I heard 2000 Man, I was like, this is the coolest Ace song I ever heard, not realizing it was a Rolling Stones song, but I loved it anyways. Like, it was one of the few times where a band covered a song and made it their own, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, my brother for the longest time said, don't ever get Dynasty of, you know, I will never buy it for you. I forbid you to listen to it. So once I turned 18, I bought it. And I didn't hate it. I loved it. In fact, Dynasty is my number 11 on same as you, Greg. To me, it sounds like a New York band releasing a New York album in 1929. I mean, a song like Dirty Living, it sounds like it was written on the deuce. You know, like on not on the shitter people. I mean, 42nd Street and Times Square. you know, the block of ill repute, as it was.
Yeah, so it sounds like Disney. It could have been the intro song to a Fred Williamson movie.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, no problem.
The Ace songs on here are killer. You know, sounds like a kid from the Bronx. You know. With a little oomph in his step. And, you know, one of the few times where a Paul Stanley song is my favorite on the album, Magic Touch. I just think sonically and lyric wise, it's a perfect Kiss song. Melodic as hell. And, you know, everything about it, in my opinion, it rips. I don't hate this album. It's not a disco album. Can we just say that? It's not a fucking disco album.
Not a disco album.
Thank
not
you.
Not at all.
And Wayne, I realize you're just humoring me, but thank you. I appreciate that.
It isn't, though.
It isn't.
I said that before. And
anyone who says it is, you're not listening. You know, go ahead and read your Rolling Stone magazine or, you know, all that crap. You know, while you're at it, may you flush that and yourself down the toilet. Yep. Down the deuce. Anyway,
is it the overuse of the laser sounds? Is that what people keep bringing up, the disco thing?
Well, the funny thing is, this is like one of the few times where an album sounds like the way the band looks.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, and my first exposure to this, as well as a couple of the ones we were talking about last week, by the way, I couldn't remember the name of the fucking video at the time, but it was Kiss Exposed. Yeah. Where they went through the history, and you know, they had the video for I Was Made for Loving You and Sure Know Something on it, and it was kind of a shock, but I still ran out and got the album. And then, you know, my favorite song on it is Save Your Love, which is just an awesome classic Ace tune. They still sound dangerous on it, like they did on the first three. Yeah. And live.
That Kiss Exposed VHS is so cringy when you watch it. That whole mock interview thing with the guy that played Blinken from Robin Hood Men in Tights as the interviewer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But you do get to see the uncensored versions of the Asylum videos, and titties actually make them acceptable or enjoyable.
I'll have to watch it. Okay.
I'm looking it up right now.
I love Dynasty, so you know it's a good album, and I think people should seriously consider giving it a second listen. My own wife, who does not like Kiss, like Dynasty, because she said, "Oh, this is not what I expected, you know, Kiss to sound like." Because you know, I think she heard me play "Burn, Bitch, Burn" once, and you know, put my log in your fireplace. So you know, two different sounding types of eras there.
That's another thing. That's another point too. This is, sounds like a very mature Kiss, actually.
Yeah,
not Gene.
Much, no, not him well, so man. Much. But for the rest of the songs on the album, they're a little bit more mature than usual.
Yeah, honestly, it's probably some of Ace's most serious writing on "Hard Times" and "Save Your Love." And those are also the two songs that make me wish for Peter the most, though. Anton Figg trying to play as Peter Criss is not the same as Peter Criss playing with Ace Frehley. I'm sorry.
No, but
It
you know
tricked
what?
me.
Anton sounds good playing with Ace. You know,
He did.
I love the self-titled album from 78. I love Frehley's Comet, so.
He does, but there's something different about his playing on this where I swear they told him, try to sound like Peter.
They did to him what they did to Bob Kulick, sound like Ace.
Yeah, and it's not terrible. I still love this record. There's just something that sounds slightly off when it comes to the drums.
I feel like those two songs where Anton almost sounds like Peter are I Was Made for Loving You and Sure Know Something,
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
which were the singles, so that's why.
There you go. All right. Next album, Love Gun.
Pull the trigger on my love gun.
Bang, bang, you. Oh, wrong song.
Wrong
Sorry.
song.
Just a hooligan won't go to school again. No, yeah.
Wayne, on a side note, I got to give your buddy on eBay, the Heavy Metal Museum, a shout out.
Oh, yeah,
I
boy.
just got my order today.
Oh, he did. Oh,
Yes.
Gary
Very
Schaefer.
good.
Yeah. The Quiet Riot re-releases on No Remorse
Oh, wow.
and
Nice.
a 1984 Michael Schenker Group concert with the one and only appearance of Ray Kennedy as vocalist before he broke the band up.
Oh, cool.
Finally got it. So thank you, Heavy Metal Museum.
Yeah. And
Awesome.
then he just got that other thing in that box that I showed you a couple of days ago, the Mama's Boys.
Oh,
Oh
mine's coming this
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't end up getting it. Okay. All
Mine's coming this weekend, yeah.
right. Very cool, very cool. Love Gun. Great.
Love Gun, a good record, one of the first ones I had. I like this one, but I don't like it as much as what came before it, although it is much better than Destroyer. They kind of take what they've learned from Destroyer and branch out a little bit more here, whereas with Rock and Roll Over, they took what they learned and took their original raw sound and writing and kind of updated the production and made it sound larger. But there's some repetition stuff on here, like Tomorrow and Tonight, which isn't a terrible Kiss song, but it is like, okay, here we go. Rock and Roll All Night Part Two. Do we really need this now?
Part three, actually.
Or Part Three, yes. Yep. Oh my, how can I forget about Shout It Out Loud? That one I actually love. So, no. But a really good record, a great show as far as the tour and everything goes. And, most importantly, Ace's first lead vocal and Shock Me is just a total classic. I love Hooligan, Peter Criss's song. I Stole Your Love is another classic. One of my favorite Gene tunes with Almost Human. But then you got crap like Tomorrow and Tonight and Then She Kissed Me, which I don't know if I can say I can enjoy it. It's more I'm desensitized to it
Yeah.
because you can't really skip a song on a vinyl all that easily.
Right. Well,
Sure
thank God.
you
Yeah.
can. And I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's just kind of a letdown at the end of the album. But that's also like, as much as I love Got Love for Sale, what Christine 16, it's okay, but it doesn't really do it for me. I don't know. It's kind of a bland song to put after something as awesome as I Stole Your Love. But then it picks back up on side two with, the epic title track, Love Gun, which I think they've played on every single tour since the album. But I mean, they were on fire here. It was right before the bottom fell out, and they all sound great. And they all actually play on the album for
Yeah,
the
wow.
whole thing, I think.
Now, can anyone guess the first time I heard I Stole Your Love and which version of it was?
I cannot, but before I forget this, I will tell you originally how I discovered this album was that
Yes.
Detroit Rock City movie came out in '99, and I had not heard this record yet, and it starts off with Love Gun. And I was like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome. I gotta go find this. And I bought it the next day at Kmart. But tell us, Wayne, how?
There's a clue. Somebody's wearing a t-shirt.
Halloween covered it.
Yep.
Ah.
Yep, they covered I Stole Your Love. That was the first time I heard that song. I'm like, okay. And if Halloween likes Kiss, then I must like Kiss.
Was that on Metal Jukebox?
No, it was
No,
on
Time of the Oath. Oh.
no. It was on
Oh, Master of the Rings.
Master of the Rings, the bonus disc.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a
Which
bonus
you could
disc.
stream now if you have, if you're on Apple Music or Spotify or what's the other one? Amazon Music. So
It's
it is
okay.
there.
You can find it everywhere.
It's pretty
But
good.
it is. It's a
Yeah, it
really cool
is.
cover.
No, Halloween do great covers. They really do.
Sometimes they do. I like this the Kiss song though. I thought they did a pretty good job on it.
I like the Judas Priest one, and I like the
Judas Priest one, I think, was the best cover they ever did.
Right, but there was the one that instrumental that they did, which was Jean-Michel Jarre's song. I forgot what it was called, but it was a
That
good
song
one.
sucks. That one sucks.
Oh, you know nothing.
No,
Anyways,
please.
go ahead, Greg.
We gotta do
You
that
know
show all over
nothing,
again.
Jon Snow. A great record. I mean, I love it, and it's definitely strong enough to make the top 10, but we with success comes Bullshit,
per
that's what it is.
yeah. Well, I was gonna say complacency a little bit. They're not as hungry and desperate here, so you get some stupid shit, which makes it not as strong as the others, but it's still a great album that every Kiss fan should own.
I think we did this. Were you on the episode that we did Almost Human Live? Were you on?
Not
No,
Almost Human
not
Live, but
you.
I was on the episode we did. It was Love Gun versus the Ramones.
Leave Home.
Leave Home, yeah.
No,
And
but
I picked Ramones.
yeah, but Greg, were
yeah,
you on that
right.
episode or no?
Yeah, the
Are
Leave
you?
Home thing was my
No,
idea.
no, no, no.
Yeah.
The Almost Human one.
It wasn't on
No.
Almost Human. It was on Rockstar
No,
Review,
we did it
Wayne.
on Almost Human too,
No,
though. Oh,
they did just
yeah.
Love Gun on Almost Human. No,
I swore we did.
I found out about it too late.
All
I
right,
had to work.
it doesn't
Yeah.
matter. But anyway, when we discussed it on there, I kind of listened to this in like different orders because the order of these songs are kind of weird to me. They don't kind of flow with each other. And I
Well,
did
it does
try
on the back cover because it looks like a penis.
yes, that is true.
Yeah,
But I like rearranged them to make it a little sound a little bit. I don't have the order on me here, but I think the flow of the songs is kind of wrong. I think it should have been mixed a different way. Not mixed sound wise, I mean mixed song order wise. But otherwise, there are really good songs on this album. It's one of the a really good sounding Kiss album. I Stole Your Love is really great. Christine 16, I love that song. Shock Me is really good. And I'm not really too crazy about a lot of Ace Frehley songs, but that one's really good. Love Gun is a classic. Almost Human, I really never ever paid attention to that song until we started talking to Ralph and because of his YouTube page is Almost Human, and I'm like, why would he name his channel that? So I had to listen to that song a couple times to get it, and now I actually do like that song. And Plaster Caster is a really good song as well.
It's okay. I like it, but that's one of the ones that doesn't excite me as much as some of the others.
Yeah. But the other songs, And She Kissed Me, that song should have never ever been on this album at all. And what's the other one I'm missing? We mentioned it before.
Hooligan.
Hooligan, yeah, that one, that's just terrible.
Wrong.
No, it's garbage.
Why, Wayne? You don't think it's possible to drop out of school when you're 22?
No. Well, you could.
No,
You could
it
just keep
isn't
failing.
anymore. They kick you out when you're 21 now.
Did it really?
To me,
Yeah.
that song reminds me of Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. All right. Anyway.
Or
But
failure to launch. I'm charming. I just never seem to get my life together. Shut
I really do enjoy this album. I like it a lot. And that movie, what's that movie with the kids with the Kissanthia and all that shit? Role Models. Really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
It always this always reminds me of that movie.
I forgot about that, but
Yeah.
yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, me?
Go ahead, Mr. Goatee.
Hey, it's looking good.
Yeah.
I think. So, ooh, baby, baby. God damn it.
Here comes your next clip.
So back in the day, when I lived at my parents' house in Astoria, Queens, so I was 13, Friday nights on 89.5 FM SOU, there would be a DJ named Top Jimmy who played, in my opinion, the best stuff. His favorite band was Kiss. So I got exposed to a lot of Kiss songs on there that, you know, I hadn't heard yet, because at that point I had only heard Destroyer.
And he liked Dynasty.
He did not play anything off Dynasty that I recall.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But, you know, it's the first time I heard Rock Bottom off of Alive, which I fell in love with that song. And he played Shock Me. And I was like, wait a minute, this sounds like Kiss, but that doesn't sound like Paul or Gene singing. And he said, and that with Ace Frehley on vocals. And I'm like, oh, I liked it. And, you know, then I became obsessed, and I recorded the song on a cassette. Because, you know, at the time, you know, you could record stuff off the radio. So, yo, those were the days. And, you know, and I would listen to that song repeatedly. And, like, I would try to learn it, play guitar along with it. And, you know, it got to a point where I could play the song start to finish, including the guitar solo. And I was like, my God, you know, like, I know I mentioned that Iommi, Rhodes, and Van Halen and Blackmore were my Mount Rushmore. But Ace was really integral to my upbringing as a guitar player. I'm not going to lie. He's the reason why I wanted a Black Les Paul. So then the third Kiss-related album that I got, anyone remember Kiss My Ass, Classic Kiss Regrooved?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So there were two songs on that off Love Gun, Christine 16 covered by the Gin Blossoms and Plastercaster covered by the Lemonheads. And I was like, oh, I really like these songs. Well, at the time, I liked Christine 16. Now I can't listen to it. I have a 5.5-year-old daughter. I cannot listen to it. I'm sorry. If Gene Simmons kept creeping up on my daughter, I'd kill him. All right. The demon would be fucking dead. But I digress. So the summer of 94, I got Love Gun. And, you know, this was after, oddly enough, you're wearing a Nirvana shirt. This is after Kurt Cobain unalived himself. And
he was murdered.
Well, either way, thank God we don't have to listen to any more Nirvana.
Are you saying that Courtney Love paid Il Duce to kill any?
Oh, no.
Greg, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know exactly what
So that album became that, and Cheap Trick at Budokan became my soundtrack of the summer of 94. And, you know, I listened to Love Gun repeatedly. Looking back, I could say, you know, that there's songs on it that I still love to this day. And I mean, I'll name them. I love I Stole Your Love. Got Love for Sale it's cheesy and hokey, but I like it. Shock Me, obviously. Tomorrow and Tonight, I don't mind so much. Love Gun.
Rock all day.
Roll All Night.
Roll All Night.
I forgot about that song.
All right.
That's what I hate about that song.
All right. Terrible. Yes. Great chorus, guys. you know, the song Love Gun is a classic, but I got to admit, it comes off so much better live than it does in the studio. You know, I think it's played more thunderous and bombastic when they do it live. Hooligan.
Didn't Eddie Kramer produce this?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
You know, Hooligan, good song. It's all right. You know, again, the whole drop out of school in year 22. I'm just like, why did you write that? Just to rhyme it? God damn it.
Well, he can't even spell his name.
35 Chevy on a 55 frame. Does that even work?
It would be a different body style. But
I just imagine the Dracula from the Almost Human, love that song. Thought it was a killer groove, and I thought it was one of Gene's finer moments. I love the song Plaster Caster because it's like a dirty power pop song.
Yeah.
Then She Kissed Me. I mean, I'm a fan of the original, so I don't dislike the song. I didn't dislike the cover. You know, I thought, you know, it's not as bad as people are telling me it is, in my opinion.
Oh, I mean, stupid. I can't dislike the original song because I fell in love with Elizabeth Shue dancing to it when I was a child. So
and Adventures in Babysitting, absolutely same here. And she still looks good.
Yes, she does. I would still marry her.
But yeah, Greg, this is my number 10 favorite Kiss album too.
So. The thing with the Almost Human song, it's sounds kind of like their early stuff, like back in like the Wicked Lester type.
You're right.
Of Kiss. You know, yeah, so I'm kind of weird to hear that at this stage in their in the game with them. They're doing something that old sounding, you know, with the bongos and all that.
You know, the guitar harmonies on that are killer. You know, just like when they play the minor to it, and I'm just like, wow. You know, people don't give Paul and Ace credit as a guitar team, and they don't give them enough credit, and I think that that's criminal. Like I said, you know, listen to Rock Bottom, either the studio or the Alive version. And, you know, they're playing counter harmonies, but it sounds gorgeous.
Yep, yep, yep. Revenge.
Love this record.
I'm really surprised. A lot of people don't. A lot of people dropped off. Really, I mean, they dropped off earlier on, but this is like one of the ones I hear, especially Ralph. He doesn't like this album at all.
I mean, this is one of the ones I got the same summer as I got like a whole glut of other Kiss albums like Dynasty and Love Gun and things like that. A lot because of those videos. Mm. I mean, I know the one was Exposed, but the other one was like a History of Kiss type thing. It's got some really easy, stupid name, and I just can't think of it right now. But it stopped at Revenge because that was the current thing. And it went through God Gave Rock and Roll to You. And still to this day, I love that song. And Eric's backing vocals bring a tear to my eye. If you think it's wimpy and you don't love it, you're not a real Kiss fan.
Yeah.
So eat my ass with a side of ranch. But there's definitely a corporate rock aspect to it. I mean, I think that was kind of unavoidable with Kiss at this point. And again, with the CD format, they get a little long in the tooth. I mean, Every Time I Look at You shouldn't have made the album. They should have never even recorded it. It is just a terrible song, and it's not even that it's acoustic. It's just it's poorly written, and Kiss shouldn't have done it.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it better than Forever. Sorry.
Oh
what? Man.
Get the hell out of here. If I could throw something at you right now, I would.
Come on, man. It'd be Forever it's even just had an a opinion. Sepia tone video.
That's wrong.
It's just an opinion. It's wrong. Your mama. Anyway.
But yeah, that is actually the only song on here I just outright don't like, though. I think they could have done it better. I think they could have pulled it off, and I don't know if it was just something about maybe that's how Ezrin said, oh, this is how this should sound, but I just think it's a bad take.
All right. And it's not even Bruce playing on Every Time I Look at You. That's Dick Wagner again brought in to do the solo.
That might be part of why I think it sounds so weird.
Mm.
But the only other song I can really say that I... Well, it's not that I don't like them, but you get some stuff like Paralyzed where it's just, it's kind of there. It's a filler tune, you know, and they really started relying heavy on that in the 80s. But here they have that edge back to them that they were starting to bring back a little bit on Hot in the Shade, but they were kind of in between. That's like a demo record, like we were saying. But, you know, seeing that video for Unholy, Live Through the Ages. rock and roll to you. And Domino. I love Domino. That's one of the best songs Gene has ever done. I know for whatever reason that one really pisses some people off. I guess because it kind of goes the little more generic walk.
It's another Lolita fantasy, Greg.
Oh, I don't even care about the lyrics. I just like it musically was more what I was thinking. Oh, Thou Shall Not. That was the other one where I was like, it's
like
all right.
Interesting.
Oh, wait. It was either that one or Spit. I can't remember now. But and then, of course, you get Paul's brilliant lyrics on I Just Wanna. He couldn't quite leave the 80s behind completely, even though it was 1992.
But, I love that track, though.
Oh, I love the song. I'm just saying, you know, you still get your classic cringy kiss. And you Take It Off is kind of that way, too. But I love that song as well. Heart of Chrome is one of my favorites, though. That is a great song.
That's cool.
I really wish I could hear Vinnie Vincent actually play that.
You can for $200 a month. You can join his Facebook group.
It'll be just like that box set. I will never get what I want.
Oh, come on. What about the opportunity of getting a second box set?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Oh, boy. What an idiot. This is my first Kiss album, and I saw that video on Holy. I didn't hear what you got to say because the freaking thing froze on me again. But I saw that, and I heard that song, and Gene singing, and I'm like, I got to start owning Kiss albums. Because that song... Okay. That song is just... It's unholy. You know, it's just so heavy and sounds so evil. I'm like, how the hell is Kiss so evil?
Yeah, complete 180 from what you expected of them by that point.
Right. And, you know, the only other thing I remember seeing when I was younger was this I Love It Loud.
Because of Beavis and Butthead?
No, it was probably on MTV or something. I probably just saw the video somehow. I don't know. I don't know where I saw it. But, you know, seeing that and how evil that song was and just how heavy it was, I'm just like, God damn, I really got to get this album and I got to start getting into Kiss. And I really like this album a lot. I liked a lot more songs than I remembered that I liked off it. Take It Off is really good. Tough Love is cool. God Gave Rock and Roll to You. Yeah, it is awesome. God Gave Rock and Roll to You is such a really great anthem. Sucks like they don't really, well, they never really played it live, but they always played it at the end of the show. They always play the recorded version, which is, you know, still cool that they did that.
They played it live a couple of times. They played it on the Revenge Tour.
Oh, well, and, yeah, I'm talking like kind of like after that, though. They kind of just
they did with Eric and Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did with Eric and Tommy?
Yeah, the Rock the Nation tour in 2004. I believe song was on the set list. Yeah.
All right. I thought they just kind of just, you know, shoved it off to the end of the show type thing. All right. I stand corrected. Okay. I'm not always right.
Yeah. And Thou Shall Not.
I just adding context.
No, I'm glad you are. That's fine. Because I don't care about history or anything like that. So what?
That's okay. I like being more credible than Eddie Trunk. I don't need to be friends with ex-Kiss members.
Yeah, I don't look for me to credit anything. Domino is really cool. Heart of Chrome, really heavy song in this too, as well as really good. Thou Shalt Not, I really like that one. Every time I look at you, I actually do like that song. It's not as good as Forever, though. You're a fool. And
just a fucking opinion.
I'm surprised both of you guys like it, especially since you're musicians.
I like the sound of the acoustic guitar. It's just, it sounds really good. I don't know what else to really, it's not like this epic guitar, you know, ballad song. It just sounds cool. It fits with the album, I think. You know, it just mellows it out for a second and blows right back up.
I'm frozen.
Yeah, at the time, you know, the way he froze went perfect with that statement.
You know what it is? At the time, I only had, God damn it. At the time, I only had an acoustic guitar, so I was able to play it. So I was like, yeah, I learned a Kiss song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a really good album. And I was really surprised at how many songs there are in here that I really like. And it's something that they need to do because Hot in the Shade was god awful, you
Yes.
know, and they really needed something to kind of get themselves back up in the spotlight. And I always remember watching Headbangers Ball. They were on Headbangers Ball with this album coming out with Ricky Rackman a lot, I think, at the time too, when they were doing some kind of like some kind of show or something like that to celebrate the album. So
yeah, they were doing a club tour at the time. They they played the Ritz in New York City, which at the time was called the Warehouse, and they played the final show of their club tour at L'Amour in Brooklyn. So
So good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah, you can actually find that bootleg on YouTube, the Brooklyn concert. It's madness in there, like seeing the four members of Kiss circa 92. Very funny.
It's madness. Get it, Greg.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I was trying to think.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to our house in the middle of the street.
Now I'm tracking. Yeah, I didn't get that at first.
But god damn it, Wade.
Although I have to
twice
say
in one episode you zinged me.
It makes a lot of sense that Wayne would be in the ska.
I'm trying to do that again.
Weren't you the skanker and the Boss Toads? I hated you then. I still do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If we're talking acoustic Kiss, though, Shandy is the best it gets.
Shandy. Yeah, that's forever.
Where's your top hat?
We're running out of
pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Pick it up. Anywho. So Revenge. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. The year before I got Destroyer, I saw the video for Unholy on The Box. Anyone remember The Box? You pay to watch a music video.
No.
And I thought it was cool. Then, you know, but at the time in 92, I was really into like, this is going to sound odd, Def Leppard, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and of all bands, Fishbone. So
cool.
Kiss had not entered my echelon until a year later. Fast forward to summer of 95, I got the Revenge album. Love the track Unholy, love Take It Off. I'm gonna be honest, my least two favorite songs on the album are Tough Love and Paralyzed. Don't care for those albums. And it's funny because I actually had this above Lick It Up, but realizing the ratio of songs that I do like as opposed to ones that I don't on those two albums, yeah, Revenge. Greg, I'm on the same level with you with these three albums in that order. Spit, it's another Gene cliche song, but it works. You know, it's a song. It's a song where it's like it throws every freaking, you know, X-rated cliche that you possibly could into a song, but it still works, and I enjoy it. Sue me. God gave rock and roll to you. Thank you, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And
that's
God rest your soul, Eric Carr.
Yes, yes. No. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Stations!
Domino, a good song. I think that, you know, it's very ZZ Top ish. So, you know, I do love me some ZZ Top. What's the one after that? Heart of Chrome, killer track. Thou Shall Not. You know, I loved it because I thought I was rebelling against the church, considering my mom forced me to go to Sunday school for 9 years and make me teach it for three. So I always had that song on the way walking to church.
and actually, I looked at my notes. I messed up there. Spit is the one that I was thinking kind of sounded like a filler track. I love Thou Shall Not.
Every time I look at you. I admit I liked it. Paralyzed. I Just Wanna. I guess that's Paul's equivalent of a cringy Gene song, but I still like it. And of course, you have the final song, Car Jam 1981, which Ace Frehley already released it on his Frehley's Comet album as Breakout. Mm-hmm. In fact, he wanted to have Eric play on it, but Gene and Paul wouldn't let him. But it was nice that they got Bruce to play bass and guitar over Eric's drum track. God, I miss him. I miss the hell out of Eric Carr. You know, he probably would be the one member of Kiss that would be happy to come on Ratside Review and have a good time with us, because he was just so good to the fans. So Yeah, I mean, Revenge is a couple of clunkers, but I just think it's funny that, this is probably the second transitional album in Kiss's career. The first being Creatures. And just funny how, they were kind of starting over and reinventing themselves and building their fan base back up the year after Creatures of the Night. They took the makeup off. After Revenge, 4 years later, they put the makeup back on. So, it's an important album for them. But, I do know guys that are not fans of the album, like Ralph. He's not big on it, and that's his opinion. I respect it. But again, timeline being everything, when I first heard it, loved it, still do.
Yep, same here. And it really is their second Rebirth album. And I think that's partially what makes it so strong too. They take everything they've learned and apply it to what they're doing now, even if they have a little filler sidetracky stuff, but the same thing they did on Creatures.
You know what I think? I think it's hard for people to take a band who all they sung about on every album, literally every song was about getting laid, and then all of a sudden they're coming out like a bunch of tough guys. So I think maybe that's the problem that people have with it, is that they may find it disingenuous.
And I can understand that, especially since, maybe 5 years before this, they were writing their lyrics in lipstick and trying to tour with Bon Jovi,
Yeah.
And who they take out on this tour? Faster Pussycat. Go fig.
Yeah. Yeah, shit with how every time I look at you sounds, you think it would have been bad English. They
I
could
thought
have
we were
done
going to talk
suck.
about bad English.
It's when I see you smile is not that far off to me from every time I look at you, but
Talk
now that you have to
about
say that.
a band that's got worse drama than Kiss ever did. What the hell is up with Journey? Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a whole other show, though.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a whole other show. All right. So, really cool list here. We're almost there. Almost at a year.
Yeah, we're into the top 10 now.
Yeah.
Well, top eight
Well, top 8
plus one, but we'll
plus
get
the
that. We'll get to that
goat,
later.
yeah. As to use the parlance of our times.
Really cool. Can't wait to get to that next episode. Anything going on, Lou? Did Severed Angel upload a new video or something? I mean, what's going on?
Yes, we did. I'm very proud to announce that both Wayne and I, our band Severed Angel, that we are re writing and recording with our friends Alex and George and Mark, our new album Skyward has a release date of May 3rd. We just released a music video for our first single from the album, Tyrant on the Throne. Came out yesterday on YouTube. The song will be available for streaming on Tuesday, February 13th. And that is the day where the website will be updated and you could pre-order the album from the website, and that'll take you direct to our Bandcamp. I've already got goosebumps waiting for this album. I mean, if you loved the first Severed Angel album, you're gonna love this one that much more. And if you never heard the first Severed Angel album, you're still gonna love this one that much more. I'm very proud of the work that the five of us have done together. I think it's a great showcase of our talents outside of Rat's Eye Review, and I think it's a great complimentary thing that we do along with Rat's Eye Review. It means the world to me that our buddies Greg and James and Manny love the music and believe in us as much as we do as they do. Greg, thank you for like all the support and all the good
Yeah.
stuff you've said about it. You're a good man and a good friend. Thank you. But yeah, man,
Anytime,
I'm
you guys
just
make great music.
So fucking proud of this album. We've already gotten 100 views in less than 24 hours.
It's over that now, I think.
No, but I mean, in less than 24 hours, we made 100. So that's pretty cool. And the sub count's going up. So thank you to everybody who's watching it. Get Skyward.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. And there's also another thing I have done with Alex, our guitar player, singer. The band Absalom, we just released our first song, Destroyer. The video's coming soon. I'm just waiting for Alex, but that'll be out soon. Really cool song. Check that out. It's on the Rocks Records YouTube channel. It should be up on streaming as well. I don't know, but it should be there. So go check that out. Absalom, Destroyer.
I just pre-ordered my copy of the album. Looking forward to it, and I'm happy to support.
Very cool. Thank you very much for that. And so that's it for now. Rat Salary Review. Hit subscribe. Royster Coats. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for 1 second.
Yeah, let's.
Final studio album?
Yes. And
they didn't from what I have read of this news story that I read on Blabbermouth, they really didn't. Are these re-recorded songs or are these songs that they did years ago and remixed?
From what I heard, they're left over from Revolution by Night, possibly?
Well, it's not just Revolution by Night. So I'm really excited about some of these, especially tracks like Albert Bouchard's Gun, which is just great. But for example, that is actually originally from the Mirror Sessions. So a lot of these songs, and Blue Oyster Cult would do this a lot, especially during the original five-member period, but up through the original, they never ended, but the end of the original recording era at the end of the 80s around Imaginos, they would play small club shows kind of secretly under the name of Soft White Underbelly, which was one of their original band names. And that's where a lot of these songs originated, because they would be working on them for albums, but they all didn't quite make it. And a lot of these are real legendary, and the only way you could hear it as a fan would be to get some of these soundboard bootlegs. So what they did was they went back to these original reel-to-reel session tapes and cleaned them up, re-recorded some things that needed to be re-recorded, and then had Richie Castellano finish them off.
Richie's been such an asset to that band. That last BOC album was perfect. Probably... dare I say the best album of 2020?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
I agree.
What I liked about that though is they actually recorded all those songs. They played them. But yeah. this new album, it's all songs that are just kind of remixed in a way. So that's
None of them have ever been officially released. No.
I understand that, but these aren't new recordings. These are old recordings.
They're like legendary vault stuff with two new songs and then finished off properly and turned into finished tracks.
I'm a little disappointed because they're saying this is their final studio recording.
I think it's a good way to go out. I mean,
I would rather have
the majority of these songs didn't even make the Rarities Volume 1 and Volume 2. I don't think any of them did, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. So. You know, it's stuff people have been waiting a long time for, and they actually took the time and expounded the effort to finish these off. And with old reel-to-reel tapes like that, it's not that easy to do, you know?
No, it's cool that they're releasing.
I don't think it's a cop-out at all.
I just wish they would just make another album with new songs, you know? I don't know what are they afraid they just can't write new songs?
No.
So why not just put out original music that you haven't done yet?
They just had their 50th anniversary, man. You know, they've been on tour forever. They're bowing out gracefully.
I thought they were going to be on the road forever, personally.
Yeah.
They probably will be. They're not going to stop.
But, I mean, you can't ask for a better final full studio album than what they did in 2020. And now we get a little extra. I don't see anything wrong. I'm happy.
And I'm telling you.
My favorite band.
I saw these guys back in 2014. They played at one of those Concert Under the Stars things in Massapequa Park. 5,000 people there. There were more people there than there were for Dennis DeYoung 2 years prior. And I'm not going to lie. I wanted to slap everyone that joined the Cowbell Army walking around.
God. I hate you, like, people.
It doesn't even have that prevalent cowbell in the freaking song.
It's a block. Yeah. It's not a cowbell.
It's not prevalent, and the thing about it is, I mean, if I could take the opportunity to punch somebody, it'd definitely be Dennis DeYoung, but
Really? I would say that about Will Ferrell. May
yeah.
he die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Anyway.
Well, dude, for Will Ferrell, we would have to see what Mr. 9mm has to say, but that's a different story. I fucking hate Will Ferrell.
I love Will Ferrell, but he ruined the whole Blue Oyster Cult thing.
Will Ferrell is not that funny. Will
Thank
Ferrell
you.
is ironic and uncomfortable, which certain people found hilarious, and it works in some movies,
It works in
shit
some
like Step
movies.
Brothers, the other guys,
Yes.
but he was not that funny on Saturday Night Live. You know why?
No.
Everybody, that was during the pill mill era. Everybody was on Oxycontin. That's how I explain it.
Old school funny. Anchorman funny. Ricky Bobby sucked.
Yeah.
I'll flat out say it.
We're streaking through the quad. Who's we, Frank? They're coming.
I'm just I'm happy to see there's a new oyster Blue Oyster Cult thing coming out. I just wish it was more song, but it is what it is. It's better than nothing, so I'll take
But the thing is, I mean, it's not like the bullshit they did in '94 where they were just re-recording previous album tracks. They're all essentially new songs. Are you going to run around and buy a $200 bootleg from 1978
No,
just
but
to hear some of these played live? No. So they're new songs. Quit your bitching.
I mean, you could say the same thing
It's
about
not a cop out thing like Ozzy doing fucking covers or writing the same album 8 times in a row.
I know. I know.
I mean, there's a great album out there called A Different Kind of Truth by Van Halen, which is technically, re-recordings of old demo. Oh yeah, that's right. That's not on the market anymore.
Yeah,
Y'all heard
although
about
I do
that?
hate Tattoo.
All right, fine, but the rest of the album is killer.
But see, that's different. They
Oh yeah.
re-recorded all those songs.
And they do it the same thing here,
Not really.
essentially.
They're not doing new vocals and stuff on it. It's all already done.
Yeah, but if the vocals are good, why retouch them?
Yeah.
Because they're not
I
gonna
mean,
they're gonna
really,
sound
it's
old. They're gonna sound like from they're from the 70s and 80s, and they don't sound like that
I
anymore.
don't
Do
believe
you own
that at
Double
all. I
Platinum by
don't
Kiss?
believe that at
Yes.
all because of how good Richie Castellano is at what he does.
You
I
own Double
mean,
Platinum by
of
Kiss.
course, yes.
Okay. It's songs you've already gotten before, except remixed.
Yes, I understand that.
So why are you giving BOC
That's
such shit
because
for?
that wasn't put out like this is a new album. That was a like a best of type thing.
Best of worst versions,
But
yes,
still,
but
I
I'll
mean,
s
these
a
are the
compilation.
original, these are
If
the
they say this is
original.
the new Blue Oyster Cult compilation, then okay. But don't say this is the new album because it's not a new album because these are not done within the last year or two. These are
Fine,
old
tell
songs.
Richie Castellano to put it on the
Okay.
compilation section of BOC on iTunes then, if that makes you feel better.
Do you have his email address? Just, I mean, send him an email.
He's on Facebook.
Oh, he's on. All right, let me contact him on Facebook. Dear
Now
Richie.
tell him you know me, he'll block you.
Dear Richie, my name is Wayne Noon, and
My favorite color is blue.
I'm friends with Lou Mavs. Where'd he go?
I can tie my shoes all by myself.
I can't wait to hear it though, but I listened to that song so super, what is it, so superstitious or whatever.
Yes.
It's okay. I'm not crazy about
I like
One
it.
song. Let's hear the
It's one
rest of
song.
it.
It's one song.
Yeah.
So
But
I love Blue Oyster Cult. So.
well, there's quite a few of them I've already heard because I have some of these bootlegs digitally.
Yeah, of course you do.
You know.
Yeah. Thief.
But I can tell you this much too. I mean, you know, you're talking about recording new vocals. I mean, me personally, as a fan and as big of a fan as I am, I'd be kind of pissed if they had Buck or Eric sing a legendary Albert song that had never been released before. So, but also, you know, they're working from the original DAT studio master tapes. It's not like they're trying to fucking update an Edison vibraphone recording from the early 1900s,
No,
you
but
know.
you don't understand. I don't say it's a new album. Say it's a new compilation or something. Don't say
But
it's.
it's not a compilation.
It kind
They
of
took the
is.
time to take these
It
songs
kind
and
of is.
arrange them in a way that played well as an album, though. There was a lot of thought
I
put
get
into
that.
this.
W
I get
would you
that.
prefer it was called the new album of unreleased material?
No, because you still put new album in there. It's not a new album.
Fine. It is a recent release of unreleased material.
You know what? Why don't you save it for the semantics police, E.B. White? Because nobody cares.
Seriously,
that's it for Rat Salad Review this week.
Because it's misleading. You're making people think that they recorded these songs recently.
Says the postal worker without a college degree caring about semantics. God damn it.
Where's your college degree gotten you?
Huh? I have a master's
here on Rat Salad Review.
Yeah, doctor this.
All right.
Anyways.
I got a doctorate from the streets, bitch.
All right.
School of hard knocks, yo.
I gotta do some brain surgery. See you guys next week. Goodbye.
Laters.
Thanks for tuning in.